already know. Talk sports for your sports news.
John Reed and Cody, this is Fan Run. And we can't help it if your shorty thinks we're handsome. Run and tell your granddaughter how your grandson. I'm the ghost, but I put up in a phantom. Fox Sports Knoxville, this the anthem. Fan Run, hold your radio for ransom. I'm about to move to Farragut by a mansion. Fan Run, got the haters throwing tantrums. Fan Run Radio for your sports facts. Bama, Florida, and Georgia, we ignored that. John Reed and Cody posted up with Cam Black. Fan Run, you can run and tell your man's dead.
Hour two. Kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
All right. Thanks, John. Reports surfacing that the Arkansas athletic director, Hunter Yurecek, met with Lane Kiffin in Florida about the vacant Razorbacks coaching job. This coming from Saturday Down South here. According to reports, school officials may be laying their cards on the table and ready to make a move to bring in the former Tennessee head coach to the Hogs.
All right, we'll see. If you're Lane Kiffin, do you take the Arkansas job?
Yeah, maybe I do.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Maybe I do.
If you can get back in the SEC.
It gets you back in the SEC as a head coach, and, you know, I mean, you're down in Boca Raton. I don't think any of the elite of the elites are going to hire you. Like, you're Kiffin. I mean, if for some reason, say, not that it would happen right now, but say, like, Auburn were to open up or something like that, you know, LSU were to open up, I don't think they're going after Lane Kiffin. So if you can get in the SEC, place like Arkansas, I think you probably do it if you're Lane Kiffin.
What about for Ole Miss?
Yeah,
Ole Miss is better than Arkansas. Is Ole Miss better than Arkansas?
I don't know. Okay. I'd say they're about the same historically, traditionally.
Okay.
Ole Miss maybe has more Cotton Bowls. I don't know.
All right.
Houston Nutt was the coach at both places.
I guess if you do okay at Arkansas, you could theoretically leave there too for a better place.
Does Ole Miss have a national title?
I don't know.
Arkansas technically has one in 64.
Okay.
It's like a share of one. Sure. Bama won, claimed one that year, you know?
Yeah.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Yeah. When have they not claimed one? But anyway, Dan Wolkin said the Pig fans were tracking planes, and after doing some digging, he said the search team, led by Hunter Yurecek and John Fagg, is indeed hopping around talking to candidates.
Okay.
So they were in Boca Raton, according to Dan Wolkin. And when has he ever been wrong about anything?
That's a good point.
Louisville is the new number one in college basketball as they top the AP poll. Michigan leaps to number four.
How do we feel about that?
They were unranked.
Yeah, we Eric tweeted in asking about that. Says he thinks that's a leap. I think when you have the week they had last week, I think it's deserved. Honestly,
they beat North Carolina and Gonzaga,
and last week. And handled Iowa State pretty easily. Who's usually at least a decent basketball team, right? That's usually a tournament team. So
yeah,
they dominated them and beat up North Carolina and kind of beat up Gonzaga too, right?
Yeah, so they jumped from unranked to number four. That's the biggest jump from being unranked in the history of the poll.
I mean, I kind of feel like they were undervalued before. Now, obviously, like, you can say that now that they have beaten those teams, but I mean, Michigan's had a really good program the last 8 years. It's not like there's no talent there anymore just because John Beilein left. Like, did I expect to have a slip? Sure, of course. But I mean, Juwan Howard has hit the ground running, and there's talent on that team, and it's a respected program. It's not like this program came from out of nowhere. They are really good.
Juwan Howard, new head coach, says, "I'm sure we're on the map now. A lot of teams are looking and seeing Michigan as a name that's out there."
Do you know who they play tomorrow?
No.
At Louisville.
Oh wow! So number one versus number four.
Michigan could go from unranked to number one in the country.
Damn.
In a week and a half.
Yeah.
If they're able to win tomorrow, that game is on ESPN at 7:30 on Tuesday.
Tennessee drops to number 21, despite beating a ranked VCU team.
That's fine. We looked awful in that loss to Florida State, but that's okay.
Well, they jumped to number 17.
We're still one of the 25 best teams in the country, and Tennessee can hang their hat all year on defense. Tennessee's defense is good. Tennessee's defense is going to keep them in all these games, even in a game against Florida State where Tennessee looked like trash. Tennessee looked like trash offensively. Tennessee's defense had them right there in striking distance at all times. And maybe if a proper foul call was called when we're down, was it down three or five, I guess, when Fulkerson got called for a foul whenever he really should have stolen the ball and gotten rewarded a foul and two free throws with about a minute and a half left. I feel like that was a big moment in the game, obviously. That was a minute left, I guess, when we were trying to cut it from three down, I believe.
If we don't get Urosh cleared or some, you know, get some kind of interior post presence, we're going to really struggle against teams like that. They said that's the longest team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, so like, when you say we're going to struggle with teams like that, like, I don't know what that means because to me,
well,
man,
the Florida State should have beaten us by 25 points.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying about our defense. Our defense, like, you know, we talked about how much Lamonte Turner struggled. You know, that was a big topic of conversation
with all the turnovers
following that game. But he held their best point guard. He held that Vassell guy to 2-for-9, and that guy had 8 turnovers. Or not Vassell, excuse me, Forrest. He held him to 3-11 with 8 turnovers. So, like, Lamonte won his matchup. Despite how poorly Lamonte played, his defense still had Tennessee in the game.
But we can't really get rebounds against a team like that.
I don't know. I mean, we're
getting shots blocked.
Would it surprise you if I told you we out-rebounded Florida State?
Yeah. Did we?
Yeah. I mean, not by much. 33.
What about offensive rebounds?
33 to 31 offensive rebounds. They had 8. We had 7.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's just that we had 21 turnovers to their 13. Like, yeah. To me, it's not a big man we're missing. It's we have to have another point guard. We need to get that guy from Uruguay. I don't know why they're talking about redshirting him this year. I need an explanation there. Like, is he just not going to be up to speed? Is he just not going to be acclimated to the system? He looks physically ready. Like I said, we have to have somebody who can dribble a basketball, and we have to have someone give some rest to Lamonte. Like, when Lamonte is struggling like that, you could take him off the ball. If like this is it Santiago
Vescovi
or whatever his name, Vesque?
From Uruguay?
Yeah.
Uruguay.
Like, if you want to redshirt that guy, redshirt him next year when you have like 4 stars coming in, like, and the guy from Oregon and Urosh. Like, you're adding 6 new pieces next year. Redshirt this guy next year. Give me the Uruguayan now. We need him for SEC play.
Is it Guay or Guay?
I don't know.
Guay?
I'm the wrong person to be asking
Uruguay.
This.
I think it's Uruguay. Paraguay, Uruguay.
Either way.
I don't really know. Doug Peterson says he's disgusted, he's mad, and he's angry at himself after he blew a lead in the third quarter and lost to the Dolphins yesterday. Might as well write off the Eagles when it comes to the playoffs.
Last Tennessee basketball note, they play FAMU. I guess that's Florida A&M. They played them on Wednesday, and that's the only game this week leading up to 2 Saturdays from now, Tennessee-Memphis. Memphis ranked number 15, so Tennessee should get a marquee game on ESPN 2 Saturdays from now. Doug Peterson, the Eagles lost to the Dolphins, blew a 2-touchdown lead to the Dolphins. The stupid thing about this, though, is that the Cowboys and Eagles both keep losing, so it doesn't really matter. Both these teams are still going to be there competing for a playoff spot whenever they play in Week 16. Like, that's still going to decide the division.
I think that we should just leave the NFC East out.
Feels that way, right? Like, the Cowboys could lose to the Bears this week, lose to the Rams the week after that, beat the Eagles, and then beat the Redskins at home, and they're in the playoffs at 8-8 as division champions with a home game. So, like, there's no real pressure on Jason Garrett or the Cowboys right now. They should be able to get to the playoffs at 8-8. Just beat the Eagles.
I agree.
What a bad loss for the Eagles, man. Oof, brutal. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Brian Flores deserves a lot of credit. They thought that team was tanking, and I mean, they are, don't get me wrong, but they thought they were going to be historically bad. He somehow won 3 games with them. Eagles have lost 3 in a row.
I think I saw some crazy stat that the Dolphins are like 10-2 in their last like 12 one-possession games or something. It was so something absurd.
So
like
if it's actually close, they find a way to
win
it?
Yeah, they win.
The problem is it's not ever close?
Yeah.
Let's see. This year they are 0-1, 1-1, 2-1, 3. They're 3-1 this year in one possession games. So maybe. You might be onto something there, Cam. I feel like last year they won a lot of one possession games too.
In other coaching news.
5-1, 6-1, 7-1, 8-1, 8-2, 9-2, 10-2. Yeah. 10-2 the last 2 years in one possession games. When they lose, they get blown out. Good stat by you, Cam, that someone else came up with, but that you remembered to share. That's pretty remarkable. Go ahead, Cody. You okay?
No. Charlie Strong has been fired at South Florida as well. So some other coaching news outside the SEC. Charlie Strong no longer with South Florida. And apparently Willie Taggart could potentially be a candidate for that job. Things could come full circle there.
Man, all these coaches going back home.
Yeah.
If I'm Hugh Freeze, I'm calling Ole Miss. Like, hey, you guys sure you don't want to talk? If I'm Arkansas, I'm like, hey, I won in the SEC West.
USC quarterback Jake Bentley apparently not expected to return to the program next year. South Carolina quarterback. According to a source close to the team, Jake Bentley will not be back with the Gamecocks. However, his father is expected to remain on the staff.
So you had Felipe Franks and Jake Bentley both put their name in the transfer portal. Does that do anything for you?
Not really.
Okay.
Although, I mean, without Felipe Franks, I mean, you know, Florida was just fine with him without him all year, so he will explore his options somewhere else. And
Tennessee, speaking of transfer portal, Tennessee has two names in the transfer portal right now. Wide receiver Jared Means out of Georgia. He was a three-star in the class of 2019, so I guess he's just a freshman. He's put himself in the transfer portal, as has Ryan Johnson, four-star out of Brentwood. But he is would be an upcoming senior. So two names from Tennessee in the old transfer portal.
Greg Schiano headed to Rutgers to coach there.
Makes sense for both parties. That's the best either one of them is going to do.
And finally, Snoop Dogg will be releasing a lullaby album for infants.
Seems really smart. It's a good way to get some money. Just put on a nice little lullaby album and just have it become your kid's favorite thing. Just replay it. Think of all the streams, bro. Snoop Dogg has a melodic voice.
He could put me to sleep.
Yeah.
I'd let Snoop Dogg sing me to sleep.
You mean pull your tooth or something? Like, what's
happening? Yeah, I got to get out of this segment. I got something stabbing me in the top of the mouth.
Okay, let's go to break. We'll come back with our NFL week. Was it week 13 takeaways? We'll do it next. All right, let's put a bow on week 13, at least the Sunday edition of the NFL weekend. Cody, what was your biggest takeaway coming out?
Biggest takeaway coming out of the NFL weekend was probably that the 49ers and the Ravens are both really good, and that could be a preview for the Super Bowl. I don't think you came out of that game feeling worse about either of those teams. The Ravens won 20-17, but it was a close game, and the Niners' defense still looked good.
I'll say that my biggest concern coming out of that game was Jimmy Garoppolo for the 49ers. That would worry me a little bit. Him in big games, he played okay, but
it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, they were up 7-0, and he has a pretty bad fumble that set the Ravens up for their first touchdown. He was playing in the rain and, you know, 15 of 21 for 165 and a touchdown, so was fine, I guess. And the 49ers have so many damn running backs that they can just go with the hot hand. No Matt Breida yesterday. Tevin Coleman was useless, so Raheem Mostert ended up carrying the ball 19 times for 146 yards and a touchdown. That was a promising sign. Yesterday you saw the two best running attacks in the NFL. And
a couple of really good offensive lines.
And a couple of guys who make plays. The 49ers defense was up to the task of stopping Lamar. But again, it was in the rain, so I'm not going to like take too much about it from the quarterbacks. Because like I said, Jimmy G looked a little shaky. Lamar only threw for 105 yards on 23 attempts. That's bad. But he runs for 100 yards and a touchdown, so he still finds a way to make plays. And then Justin Tucker was there hitting a field goal to win the game.
The Ravens had a really good game plan for Kittle. They really locked him down.
Yeah, they shut down George Kittle. He only had, two catches for 17 yards and one rush for negative three. So the 49ers are a different team with George Kittle.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't have a productive day touching the ball, but I'm assuming that he was blocking really well if they ran for 174 yards.
They
They took him out of the passing game for sure.
Yeah. They put the Marlon Humphreys on him, which I think the Marcus Peters thing is huge there. If they can do that, move their like one of their top corners, put him on him, and still have a decent guy on the outside.
You agree with Cody that might be a NFL Super Bowl preview?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They both look – I both trust them more than I do the Patriots right now and even the Chiefs, even though their defense looked good this week. But
Chiefs defense has sneakily looked really good the last, like, month and a half. Their pass defense especially, I think, ranks in the top five in the NFL. Now, a little bit of that is, like, 2017 Vols that were so bad stopping the run that like nobody ever threw on them.
Yeah.
So we put out the stats about how they're like the top rated secondary in the SEC. Yeah. Like there might be a little bit of that going with the Chiefs, but their secondary ranks in the top five. And you know, yesterday the Raiders couldn't do anything on them through the air or on the ground. I mean, I guess Josh Jacobs had 100 yards fairly quickly, but you know they weren't getting big plays and they weren't scoring touchdowns, and then the Chiefs just run off and leave you, and then you can't run the ball anymore. So the Chiefs' defense has gotten better.
Yeah, big day for the Chiefs in the 4 o'clock window. And another team to keep an eye on down the stretch here, the Cincinnati Bengals, as they get their first win. Andy Dalton returns, throws for 243 yards. They beat the Jets 22-6.
Good for Andy Dalton.
Good for the Bengals.
Felt good for Andy Dalton. The rest of the Sunday takeaways, I mean, we already talked about the Eagles choking. We saw the end of the Cleveland Browns season as they – I mean, if you're Freddie Kitchens, bro, you can't show up as the head coach wearing a T-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it and then turn around and lose to a third-string quarterback. Like, we all agree on that, right?
Freddie Kitchens did what?
He showed up to the game wearing a Browns T-shirt. It was a gray and – orange for the Browns,
right?
And it said Pittsburgh started it, referencing the fight on Thursday Night Football.
He wore that.
That shirt to the game,
not on the sidelines.
Yes,
that would be even better.
But to the game,
okay.
And then they turned around and blew a 10-0 lead to a third string quarterback. Like if you're Freddie Kitchens, bro, if you're gonna be one of the boys, you're gonna be one of the guys, and you're gonna be rah rah and hey, look, guys, look at my shirt. Like, make sure your team has your back and doesn't come out and lose to a third string quarterback. Can you do that?
Yeah,
because now you look like a clown.
Yeah, Devlin Hodges.
Now you look like a clown for blowing a 10-0 lead to somebody named Duck Hodges.
I hate that guy just because of his name.
When your number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, goes 18 of 32 for 196 yards, one touchdown, one interception, you look pretty silly when you let Pittsburgh dominate you like that, and they spotted you 10 points, and then proceeded to beat you 20-3. And end your season. And you only scored 13 points while having Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, two of the best running backs in the NFL, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. You look like a clown whenever you blow a 10-0 lead with that much talent against a third-string quarterback. A team that didn't even have Juju Smith-Schuster or James Conner. Like, they're down their two best skill players and two quarterbacks, and they still beat you. We spent so much time this offseason talking about the Cleveland Browns. So much time.
Did we?
Everyone. When I say we, I mean everyone. Like, everyone talked about them. They were on all the, you know, GQ magazine, talked, you know, most bet on team to win the Super Bowl. You bought into it, said they're winning the division, making the playoffs.
I don't think I did.
Check the board bet. You had it on there. You lost a board bet because of it.
No, I don't think I bought into them, really.
You did. You were Baker's biggest fan.
I might have at one point, but I think I changed my mind before the season started.
Right after the Titans smacked them week one.
No, I think it was before the season started.
The Titans beat that take out of you.
I think the board bet was already locked in, but I changed my mind before the season started. Pretty sure I said the Ravens would win the division. Big day for the Rams, 34-7 over the Cardinals. Goff, 424 through the air.
Too little, too late for the Rams.
I mean, they could still get to the...
they can't.
They can, you know.
They can't. The teams are chasing are all clear ahead of them.
Mathematically, they can't?
I mean, yeah, mathematically they can, but they're going to have to win out, and like the Vikings are going to have to go like 1-3 down the stretch, I think, is what it looks like.
Yeah. It's not likely.
Because, I mean, the Seahawks and 49ers are both 10-2. Or I guess the Seahawks are 9-2 with a chance to go 10-2 tonight.
I'd still like to just finish strong. You know, at
it's
least.
It's not like you got to worry about your first-round draft pick because you don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, don't show that you've – don't quit. Don't quit just because you're not in it.
And, Cody, you did pick the Browns to win the division.
Right. Like, I might have at some point, but I think I'm almost certain that I decided against that. By the time we got to the season.
Again, week one after the Titans smacked the Browns, you were like, you know what, this was a big mistake.
No, I think it was before that.
Otherwise, you had some teams like the Panthers just go ahead and knock themselves out of the playoff race. Abysmal performance by the Raiders. Chargers maybe end the Phillip Rivers era with a perfect pass interference to stop the clock and lose to the put the Broncos in field goal range and lose that game. And then, yeah, we kind of talked about what the Patriots did in Houston as Houston sets up an 8-4 record right now with a chance to, hell, I guess maybe get as high as the 2 seed. We'll see. They now own the tiebreaker over the Patriots. But they're going to have to hold off my Titans. We'll talk about that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Guys, I'm only going to...
Well, Cody, I told you all week what was going to happen. I told you we were loading up, headed to Indianapolis, and going to right the wrongs of the past couple years, or like past decade or so. I told you what was going to happen. And my Titans went up there, Cody, and they did it. They won. Ryan Tannehill continues his ascent to top four AFC quarterback. Is there any disagreement at this point? Has anybody came up with four names better?
Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
No.
Patrick Mahomes.
There, I'll give you Mahomes. Deshaun Watson, whatever, sometimes. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. But I'll concede
Tannehill
that.
Ryan Tannehill is not better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady just.
Ryan Tannehill is 100% better than Tom Brady
Tom
in 2019.
Brady, he does not.
It's 2019.
First of all, we're not doing a career achievement award anymore.
He's
lost a lot of weapons. Brady needs more weapons. It's not Brady that's bad. It's the weapons and the protection.
Yeah.
Did you know the Patriots have only had one offensive lineman this season to start every game? They've been shuffling around all over their O-line. Protection's hurting. Brady's having to move around the pocket.
Man.
And his receivers are not good.
Oh,
he doesn't have good
shucks.
Receivers. The Titans really have better receivers.
Really hate to hear that.
Titans have better receivers and better protection.
No.
Ryan Tannehill
no.
is not better
no.
than Tom Brady.
The Titans have given up 49 sacks this year, most in the NFL. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
They are not.
The Titans
Ryan
have
Tannehill
zero protection.
Is not better than Tom
the
Brady.
The Titans have zero protection. They've given up 49, it might be 47
They've had
sacks.
More consistency on their O-line than the Patriots have.
Yeah, consistently bad in pass protection on the offensive line. Yet Ryan Tannehill just comes out and slings touchdowns.
So we just don't count those Mariota sacks?
We are counting those Mariota sacks.
Okay, because Mariota held onto the ball too long and took a lot of those sacks.
No, through six starts, I think it's 24 sacks for Mariota, 23
for
Tannehill.
Who's been sacked more times this season, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
Probably Tannehill. I don't know if Tom Brady's been sacked 23 times. That seems like a lot for the Patriots.
It's not just
Tom Brady throws the ball away a second.
First of all, it's not all about sacks. It's about having to move around the pocket and not being able to – quarterback hurries sometimes can count just as much as a sack, okay? So don't come on here with the Titans have the most sacks.
They do.
There's other things involved. Quarterback hurries, pressures that are not sacks. Tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about.
You don't. When it comes to the Titans, they've got the most sacks
in the
NFL. You
know the Titans have better receivers than the Patriots. You got to admit
Titans are better than the Patriots. Yes, you're right.
You got to admit
the Titans
receivers
are better than the Patriots.
Better.
You are right. We are a better team.
But Ryan
the Titans
Tannehill
are
is
better,
not a better quarterback
the Titans
than Tom
are a better
Brady.
Team. Derrick Henry's better than anybody they have in the backfield. Ryan
right.
Tannehill's better than Tom Brady.
Right.
Yes.
More weapons all around.
We are a better football
Ryan
team.
Ryan Tannehill
yes.
is not a better quarterback
I don't know
than
why
Tom
you
Brady.
Act, I don't know why you act as if the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl when you're just talking about how bad they are. Yes, I understand.
I'm not saying
Brady
they're
has
win
been
the Super
sacked
Bowl.
21 times.
When did yeah. I say they're going to win the Super
so
Bowl?
So Ryan Tannehill has been sacked more than Tom Brady. Okay.
Can you
thank
find
you.
Me quarterback hurries, quarterback
you,
pressures?
Thank you, Cameron.
Let's look at the next gen stats, okay? It's not all about sacks. There are other things involved.
Thank you, Cameron.
Point is,
my Titans have
Brady's been under a lot of pressure.
Ryan Tannehill has lost less games than Tom Brady this year. 1-2.
Who are you taking on a game-winning drive?
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you're going to lose the game.
Ryan Tannehill.
You're going to lose the game. You just want to write off Tom Brady so bad. You want so
doing,
bad for his career to be over.
I'm just doing
just
the,
because he's old.
I'm just doing the proper
the
thing.
Ageism.
No.
The ageism displayed by you
I'm just
when
doing
it comes
the,
to talking quarterbacks is sickening.
I'm just doing
thing.
The proper thing. As Buckethead tweets in, at this point in time, right now, Monday, December 2nd, at lunch, Tannehill over Brady. Agree.
All you Titans fans are going to look really stupid in February.
I know. Whenever we
are not anywhere
going
near
head-to-head,
the Super Bowl.
Going head-to-head with the 49ers. It's going to be
You're
tough.
You're all
going to
look really
Tannehill,
stupid.
Tannehill might get exposed against the 49ers in the Super Bowl. You're right. That will be tough.
Come playoff time.
That will be tough if the 49ers expose him. I'll have to eat my humble pie at that point. I will feel pretty stupid in February.
The Titans in the Super Bowl.
You said that whenever we said the Titans are going to win over 8 games, too.
I'm sitting at seven right now. I'm still standing by it.
7 right now.
You still got to win 2 more, big boy. You got to play the big Texans
yeah.
a couple times.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else, but you can't say that on the radio.
Okay. I'm not concerned with the Texans.
You should be.
We're headed to Oakland this week. We're going to kick the Raiders' ass. Then we get Drew Brees outside in December. I'll take my chances there.
You should be concerned with Houston, given that it's your father city. Titans couldn't even have their own franchise. They had to go get Houston's. How does it feel for your franchise to not really be Tennessee born and bred?
Superior. They chose us.
Oh, yeah.
They looked and said, we got to get out of Houston. We're going to Nashville.
Be a lot cooler if
we want to go to Tennessee.
Be a lot cooler if back in the 60s they said, this is where we want to franchise.
I'm sure the Baltimore Ravens are really whining about that as they are the number one team in the AFC.
Titans fans are really, so annoying.
You're upset now because
I'm not upset. You Titans fans are annoying.
You wanted this Colts victory. You wanted me to come in here sad. You wanted me to be
heartbroken. I
didn't
want you to be sad.
Leaving Indianapolis.
I didn't want
you
that.
Wanted me to go up there and be devastated on the way back. Instead,
I did not want that.
Top 4 AFC quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Undisputed top 4 AFC quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
I'm just saying all you Titans
I'd probably
fans
rank
do,
him
you
number
just,
3
you brag
honestly.
About beating the inferior just
I'm not bragging about
well,
nothing.
I mean, what have the Titans done?
1-5 of their last 6 games.
Against who?
The Chiefs, the Colts, the Chargers, the Bucks.
Yep.
The Jaguars.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Go beat the Ravens. Go to New England and beat the Patriots.
We've beaten better teams than New England's beaten.
Go beat the Texans.
We've beaten better teams than New England's beaten.
We haven't beaten the Texans.
We haven't played them yet. We ain't lost to them.
Yeah, you got to play them twice. Good luck with that.
Two wins.
You'd be lucky to split.
Here are the facts.
Be real lucky to split.
The Titans special teams is elite. I don't think anyone could argue that.
Can you not just be humble?
If
Titans fans could just be humble when they win, they would be a lot less annoying.
This is not me being braggadocious. Cam, I'm stating facts. The Titans special teams is elite. We have the best punter in football. Brett Kern is the best punter in football. We have blocked 3 kicks. We've blocked 3 field goals the last 3 games. We beat the Chiefs with a blocked field goal. We beat the Colts with a blocked field goal. We blocked another one of their field goals. The special teams is elite.
You hear what you're doing, though? You're trying to convince everybody else.
I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything.
That's the thing. Titans fans always got to try to convince absolutely everybody. Absolutely
not. There are two choices here.
Take us seriously.
No.
There
are two choices here. Get on the train or get ran over by the train because the train's not stopping.
Yeah. Nothing stops it. Exactly.
Nothing stops it. Top four AFC quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, the best running back in the AFC.
You're the perfect spokesman.
One of the three best running backs in the entire NFL. King.
Oh, my God.
Derrick Henry. All hell. King. Derrick Henry. In his past 16 games, 319 carries, first in the NFL. 5.41 yards per carry. 18 rushing touchdowns. Cam, first in the NFL. And 1,946 total yards, second in the NFL.
Bet you really enjoyed that long touchdown run he had against the Vols when he played for Alabama.
Derrick
pointed
Henry.
At our crowd.
Bow down and kneel before the King, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry would be the leading rusher since week 9, Cameron, if he didn't gain a single yard in the first half. How's that for a stat?
He's an Alabama.
He is a Tennessee Titan.
He chose the Crimson Tide over the Vols.
Because we were in Adidas. Remember. He didn't like Adidas. He wanted to wear Nike. He almost came to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, he didn't because he wanted to be a part of the Alabama
Crimson
Tide.
He wanted to be a winner. I have no shame with that. You know why? Because Derrick Henry is a winner. All hell.
You're sick.
King Henry.
Disgusting.
You're
the perfect spokesman.
How's that for a stat?
For the
Would
Titans.
Be the leading rusher in the NFL if he was only playing second halves. He only needs half the game.
You make me hate the Titans.
You can hate them or you can love them.
If it weren't for
But you're damn sure going to respect them by the time January
rolls
around.
If it weren't for your lack of humility, I might be able
Hush
to root
peasant.
For
them. Hush peasant. Hush peasant.
Exactly.
Kneel down before King
you see,
Henry.
I have a crown in my car if you want one.
I'm not the king and Henry's not here. We need a graphic maybe to put on the screen from now on when we speak of King Henry. Please warn Oakland. The peasants in Oakland, what is coming for them?
I hope he breaks his big muscular leg.
He doesn't need it. He just needs one leg, just as the same as he only needs one half of football to be the leading rusher since week 9. All hell! King Henry. Christian McCaffrey, peasant. Saquon Barkley, peasant. Todd Gurley, who you said was going to have more fantasy points.
Who are you forgetting?
Peasant. Who?
Go ahead. Throw Alvin Kamara in.
Alvin Kamara, peasant.
Taking Derrick Henry over Alvin Kamara.
100%.
How can you call yourself a
100 ball? Times out of 100.
You can't even call
Alvin
yourself
Alvin Kamara was also a Bammer. People forget that.
Yeah, but he left to come here. He left to come be with us.
He got kicked out.
He's a saint.
All hell.
Cam, do not
King
side
Henry.
With him. Please.
Ezekiel Elliott.
We got enough.
Peasant.
There's enough Titans in this studio as it is.
Top four AFC quarterback and the best running back.
Don't you remember how he
in
gloated
the entire conference.
After he beat your Falcons? Don't you remember how braggadocious he was?
Cam did the right
That's
thing.
That's the thing with the Titans fans. They just, please take us seriously.
Cam did the right
please.
Thing.
Please.
Cam.
The Titans fans, we matter. We matter. We really do.
That's not what's happening here. This is me simply decreeing that King Henry is coming for Oakland. Cameron did the right thing. Cameron saw up close and personal, and he bit the knee. We spared his life, and now Cam is an honorary Titan.
I'm honored. Thank you for helping accelerate our draft pick rebuild process.
You're welcome, Cameron. All hell, King Henry, and your Tennessee Titans.
It's just
bend the knee,
you just,
Cody.
You just make it impossible. Just
sooner or later, you will bend the knee.
A dose of humility, and I could root for you,
Oakland.
But you come on here, and
you're
you
next. The train. Rolls on to Oakland. Cameron, pop quiz.
You don't see me.
Is Oakland
like
stopping this train?
No! Choo-choo!
Nothing stops this train.
You don't see me acting like this when the Rams win.
Because you don't really like the Rams. You're a Bears fan.
The Rams won. You don't see me acting like this.
8-5. Here we come. We're the team no one wants to play right now. When December rolls around, people don't want to tackle Derrick Henry. All hell, King Henry.
You're really down on your knees for him, aren't you?
No, that's you. You're the one bending the knee.
I will not.
Not me. I'm his...
You've already bent the knee.
I'm in his squire.
You've already bent both knees. You know what I mean.
I don't. What do you mean?
You know.
Hush, you peasant! And just embrace King Henry. Feels good. Big Monday Night Football game tonight. We'll talk about it next. Back on the program. Some people getting duped by some fake accounts. We had a viral Mike Leach hired by Ole Miss fake tweet that some people fell for.
I wonder if he will come to the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas maybe should maybe cause him. I don't know. Although, like, you'd be selling Mike Leach at his lowest point right now. He had a bad year.
Yeah, he did.
He had a bad year on the field, off the field. It was not a good look.
And not a good look for those Tennessee folks, who, and I include myself here, I'll admit it, who were trashing Jeremy Pruitt at the same time and saying, what if we had just had Mike Leach? Yep. We could have easily had Mike Leach.
It's right now. It's tough looking back on what a lot of you people here at the station were doing in week two and week three and week four.
I mean,
firing Jeremy Pruitt as he was getting ready to go 5-3 in the SEC.
Well,
it's a real shame what you guys are doing.
It's a real shame that this team didn't end up 9-3 and ranked, too.
Right, because that's what they should have gone.
But congrats, Cody. You can watch Pruitt games again.
And I said I would. Seven. You know, that's the thing about these seasons. You know, a lot of ebbs and flows, a lot of ups and downs. You never know. You never know week to week just what you're looking at. You know, and I'm glad I get to keep watching Jeremy's games.
The deadline officially passed right now. Rob Gronkowski cannot return in 2019. I don't know why that's breaking news, Adam Schefter. That was on Saturday. But basically just saying, I guess it's just more about the Patriots being stuck with the squad they have when it comes to Gronk. I got hit with some texts this morning that I want to ask you about on the air. I was texted by Bear, and it was a group, big group thread, that had pretty much everyone at the station in the station fantasy league in it, except Billy for some reason.
Oh, yeah?
As Bear.
Bear probably doesn't have Billy's number.
Bear started a thread and wants me to address some potential collusion, and now he's asking for money back between you and Billy whenever you guys are making trades.
That's funny.
I'm asked for a statement.
He said he's...
Said that there was collusion between Cody and Billy.
What are you, collusion between me and Billy?
Is that true?
No, I mean, I hardly know Billy. You know, we're...
That's what I said.
Yeah, I mean, I like Billy just
But
fine.
Reading your face and voice right now, it seems as if you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. No, I don't seem like I'm lying, do I? I don't think I'm... No. I mean, I like Billy, you know, I think... And it took me a little bit to warm up to him.
Am I missing something here?
But he brought me a chicken biscuit, and we became, you know, we became decent friends at that point.
Okay.
Billy thought I was a real jerk for about a month.
You were pretty mean to Billy.
Apparently, I just didn't even say hello.
You were pretty mean to Billy.
But then he brought me a chicken biscuit, and, you know, I kind of warmed up to him, and we became friends. And
okay.
You know, we started kind of hanging out a little, and, you know, just... Kind of talking on the phone every day for a couple hours and really becoming close friends.
Okay.
And, you know, and we've hung out about 40 or 50 times since that moment. So, I mean, I consider Billy somewhat of a friend.
Okay.
I wouldn't say we're close.
Well, everyone's whining in the station fantasy league. We got our last playoff spot coming down to the wire tonight between Cam and... I guess it'd be Cam and Rick.
Are you not going to make the playoffs?
No, I'm going to finish 6-7 right out of it.
That's a shame.
But I won both of our board bets off of it, so I'm perfectly content with that. No big deal.
You're pretty confident the last few weeks you were going to make the playoffs.
6-7, I know. There was a week I lost to Billy, actually.
Came up just short, huh?
I think the week I lost was to Billy, so I need to get to the bottom of this collusion
thing. Really? You lost
to
Billy, huh?
Yeah, I need to get to the bottom of this collusion thing.
That's a shame. That's a shame. You were kept out of the playoffs because of Billy.
I need to get to the bottom of this collusion thing. Cam needs what? What do you need, 16 points tonight from Chris Carson?
I think I need 15 for my favorite running back, Chris Carson.
That's not. I'm just going to tell you that's not going to be a fun experience.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be stressing a lot.
It's not going to be a fun experience rooting for Chris Carson.
Yeah, he's a running back. It's a
he is a running back. That is correct. He plays
just,
running back.
He just runs forward.
Maybe it'll be one of those games where Seattle decides to just really load him up.
I hope so. Give him all the carries.
When they do, they're not successful. They need more of Russell Wilson tonight. Maybe Chris Carson will get us a touchdown at the goal line, maybe.
Hopefully throw him like one 50-yard pass and let him run it in at the goal line. It's about all I need. Please.
The Seahawks are – where are they right now in my bookie? They were 2.5-point favorites this morning. Is it up to 3, I guess, now at this point? I think it's 3-point favorites tonight.
Yeah, I need them to get up quick so they just start pounding the football.
If the Seahawks win, are they the one seed right now, or I guess would it be New Orleans? I don't know how to differentiate the tiebreaker between Seattle. I guess New Orleans beat them head-to-head, so New Orleans would be the one seed. Ugh. That'd be a fun game next weekend. We get the 49ers heading to New Orleans, so the 49ers can bounce back against the Saints, kind of reestablish themselves as dominant, or they could find themselves looking at the at potentially the 5 seed. Who do you like tonight, Cody, between Seahawks and the Vikings?
Skull!
Taking Kirk Cousins on the road?
Skull! Yeah.
Really?
You bet. Give me the Vikings. They're on the road?
Yeah.
What's the spread? 3.5?
3.
Yeah, give me the Vikings. I'll ride. I don't care.
Taking Kirk Cousins on the road in Seattle, huh? Prime time. No Adam Thielen.
Oh, really? No Adam Thielen?
No Adam Thielen.
Stephon Diggs, though?
Stephon Diggs is playing. Dalvin Cook will be there.
When's Seattle's last loss?
Seattle's last loss is the Ravens.
They're due for a loss. Give me the Vikings.
They've won 4 in a row. Their only 2 losses this year are to the Saints and Ravens. Those are not bad losses by any means by the Seahawks. Both those have been at home, but
that Saints loss was to Teddy Bridgewater, though.
Teddy was undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, he played well in Drew Brees' absence. Give me the Vikings. Seattle's due for a loss.
Why's that?
Because they've won 4 in a row. They've been winning too much. It's the NFL. I mean, they're going to drop one.
Okay. You want to do a board bet?
And Pete Carroll's not a good coach.
He's not. I am worried about that. You want to do a board bet?
Mike Zimmerman, though. Or is it just Zimmer?
Zimmer.
Zimmer. He's a Zimmer, man. He's a good coach.
Zimmer, comma, man, yeah. Comma. Wow. He's a good coach.
Really like him.
Yeah.
You want to do a board bet on what?
This game tonight. I'll take the Seahawks.
No.
Okay. Trying to stop the bleeding. Board bet's been going badly for you lately.
Last weekend it went pretty well, but you've gotten a couple up on me here over the last week or so. I wouldn't expect you to be humble about it or anything, but if anything, the last 2 segments, that's taught us that, you know, humility is key. From the Station League to talking about the Titans and the, you know, just a little humble.
So you don't really believe in Kirk Cousins in primetime on the road. You just...
I'm taking the Vikings.
Okay.
Do you really believe in Russell
Wilson?
I'll
take Russell Wilson, yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if I took a board bet there, I'd be giving you the Seahawks at home.
They have lost 2 games at home. They're undefeated on the road. They're a road team now.
Well, that's a good point.
There's a thing written about how they spend all this money on like their planes and stuff when they travel, and that's why they're so good on the road. They get top-of-the-line everything. 3-2 at home, 6-0 on the road. I'd rather have them on the road.
You give me the points?
Give you 3.
Give me 3.5.
I'll give you 3. I'll give you 2.5.
Would you give me 3.5?
I'll give you 2.5.
If you'd give me 3.5, I'd take it.
I don't want to give you 3.5.
Give me 3.25?
No. Mm-mm.
3.1?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, round down to 3.
Nah, 3.1.
No, no.
All right, I'll take it.
How are we going to decide these punishments?
Well, at some point we'll
allow
have to...
I was thinking we allow people to submit some, and then we'll take the top 4 and we will then vote on them.
Okay, we can do that.
Or do we take, maybe we take 10? I'm thinking maybe we take 10 punishments, or maybe 5 for each. Maybe we take 5 for each specifically, and then we can either vote on the top 2 or just draw them out of a hat or something.
I think we try to equal them.
Yeah, that's
like
what I'm saying.
5 punishments for me, 5 for you.
But we're only going to do 1 punishment. Like only 1 at the end.
Well, there's some things I think that would hurt you a lot worse than they would hurt
me. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Vice
gonna be,
versa.
That would hurt a lot worse?
Yeah, so like maybe we get to equal out the punishments for
Or
each
as
other.
Long as we have the same 5, like the worst is really bad, the second's... And then we just decide on like what gets drawn out of a hat. If the gods demand that you take the absolute worst punishment, that'll just be what the gods decide.
We just have to crowdsource it and see, you know. But I like the idea of crowdsourcing it.
And we got to the Super Bowl, I think, is when we should cut this off. And then whatever NBA bets we have, we'll just carry over to next year.
Yeah, we'll need to find a cutoff point.
After the Super Bowl.
You could definitely start sending me recommendations if y'all got any suggestions for punishments.
Okay. So after the Super Bowl is the cutoff. We agree?
That's fine.
And then basketball, we will just roll over to
the
next year.
The Monday after the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl will be the last thing.
Okay.
Whatever bets we have on the Super Bowl, no mas.
That's it.
That's it.
We should do a lot of bets for the Super Bowl, too.
Got to get all the prop bets going.
Yeah. I'll take, like, Sony Michel rushing yards or something, you know.
Zero?
How's he going to rush from his couch?
Yeah, zero. Yeah, zero
funny.
From
that's
the couch.
That's funny, you too. That's funny. You can take Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards.
I'll lock that in right now. Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards in the Super Bowl versus Sonny Michel rushing yards.
No, they're not going against each other.
I'm saying I will wrap it in.
No,
lock it in.
No.
If neither one make it, then nothing happens.
I'll go ahead and take the Vikings with 3.5 tonight. We'll put that one on the board.
I'm not doing 3.5. Spread is 3.
3. That means if the Seahawks win by a field goal, push, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, Vikings plus 3. Go ahead and lock that one in, Cam.
Lock it in, Cam.
I got it.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 next. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.